the best breeders program in the entire United States.
When you buy a yearling, it's a little bit like buying a lottery ticket. And we are trying to provide the lottery ticket that the likelihood is to hit the jackpot.
Angel of Empire wins the Arkansas Derby and wins it clear.
Uncle Heavy late, it's a photo finish.
Pennsylvania and the PHBA have the best state bred program in the country, bar none.
The winner, Uncle Heavy, he's a three-year-old bred in Pennsylvania.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Return hours of work in minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back. Thanks to Jason for stopping by, and we always have a kind of a meandering conversation. We hit you know, a variety of topics. We did not get a dining push in, but you know that there'll be a Christino's visit, you know, tonight or tomorrow or Friday or some point, guaranteed. If you missed any portion of that, I was just about to tweet it. Per Whit Beckman now, Drip will not enter the Tampa Bay Derby. Okay, and I can give you a quote from Whit. He said, we're going to pass. He's fine, but feel like he needs more time between starts, and that he's too nice to force anything. And so they'll wait. And he won February 15th. Let me see. Hold on. He won on February, I've got the PPs here somewhere, February 17th, and broke the maiden at Fairgrounds. So it's 3 weeks, and might turn up somewhere else down the road yet, but no drip for Saturday. All right. Thanks to Jason is the one who first suggested that from the racing office. Let's get Caitlin Free in here. And, of course, as Jason, I'm glad he mentioned it, too, Caitlin's presence at Colonial. And he had to go do the changes, Caitlin. Otherwise, Beanie would have sat in with you.
Yes, he is a wonderful person to work with. Every single day at Colonial, and I've known Jason for years, and that was really the first time we actually got to work together. So doing Colonial with him has, you know, been great.
Well, not far off. It's hard to believe, but
no.
once you get to this juncture, you know, you start in on these March and April, you know, the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Forget it. You'll be back at New Kent in no time.
That is for sure, being thrust into Derby time, and then that meet will go quickly, I feel like, and then it's summer and it's really hot in New Kent, so that's kind of the story of it.
Well, let's talk the story from Saturday and the Battaglia, and it you know, the obvious players ended up running 1-2. We got some interesting follow-up from Nicole Russo on the pages. In fact, the lead story at DRF about what is going to happen with Encino and with Epic Ride as next opportunities. But talk about Saturday before anything else.
I thought it was a very interesting race. And I talked to John Ennis after the fact, and he made what I thought was a kind of a key point. This is not a race where they carry the same amount of weights. I know some three-year-old races they do, some three-year-old races they don't. Epic Ride had to give Encino 6 pounds. And that's a decent amount for a three-year-old horse. And yep. I've kind of heard sometimes the rule of thumb is when they're deadlocked that it's 4 to 5 pounds per length, which would kind of make sense. He lost by about a length. And I mean, he looked spectacular in the flesh. And I thought he ran really, really well. But I think maybe the weight had a little bit, you know, to do with it. So John Ennis just kind of brought that up as a really good point. And then the horse is going to go on to the Bluegrass. I think there's a chance that, you know, he could be a little bit better on dirt anyway. So I thought that was really interesting. But, I thought that Encino ran huge coming from, you know, outside a little bit wide off the pace the way he did. This is a horse that keeps continuing to get better. I still think, you know, he's maybe a little bit on the immature side, and, you know, throwing him into a race like the Kentucky Derby could be a little much. But, I mean, if he earns his way, then he earns his way. So we'll see what's next for the both of them. But I thought it was a very exciting race that there weren't really too many surprises.
No, and from a figure standpoint, the race came back pretty much in line with most of the, you know, 50-point type Derby prep races, and there were, in this case, was it a 50 or was it a 20? It was a 20.
It was a 20 this time, and then the Ruby's 100.
The Ruby's 100, and now we'll see about both of them, because Tessa Walden, Brad Cox's assistant, kind of hinted, it seemed, to Nicole Russo that they might very well head to the dirt next. So, and we'll see what Ennis said. He's leaning toward the Bluegrass. So could get a whole fresh, you know, fresh set of faces for the Ruby.
It wouldn't surprise me. Kevin Kersey and I were talking about that even before the race ran, that there was, you know, a chance that we were going to be getting a lot of fresh faces for the Ruby, horses coming from Oaklawn or Fairgrounds that maybe don't want to run in those remainder of preps that are going to kind of come our way, or horses, you know, that are potentially looking to maybe not use the Bluegrass but still want to be in Kentucky. So definitely a chance that we'll see a few, one or two maybe, come out from the Battaglia, but not quite sure it's going to be the top two.
Well, and we know Pletcher considering Moonlight, as well as Adair Manor having bypassed seemingly bypassing Tampa and Adair Manor. So Pletcher might end up being the lead engine on the Jeff Ruby train. So we'll be watching for some of those and see what see how that feels. But in the meantime, let's look ahead. What let me pull out the Turfway. Where's my Turfway PPs? I got Turfway Tampa. Wednesdays has become Handicapping Central, and it started big in Hong Kong today. You and Seth have to follow up Dick Powell. Dick hit with a nice pick three at Happy Valley. So
going to be a little bit of a tough act to follow, for sure.
What do you got?
Definitely an interesting card tonight. All races except for two of them are maiden races. Some of the maiden claims, some of the maiden special weights. So I think this card is obviously going to be really challenging because of that. And I'm a little disappointed. Two horses that I really, really liked today came out. I was really excited about Positive Message. In race three, she was 15-1 coming out of the Rick Dutro barn, had just moved barns. And then actually it was race five, Peaceful Kingdom for Kelsey Danner is out, much to my chagrin. So had to regroup a little bit this morning and kind of find a little bit of others. But in race number three, I still did like a price. I don't necessarily trust some of the favorites in this race. Kind of seen a lot of Sherbert Fountain. She's dropping down a lot in class. Same story with English. And they've just both kind of let me down a couple of times. So I looked elsewhere and I thought the two default for Carlo Vacaresa shipping up was kind of interesting. He's had this horse at Fairgrounds. You know, he probably has had options to run this horse in Florida. So bringing this horse up here makes me kind of wonder if this horse is maybe needing a little bit more cooler weather type, or he's wanting to get the horse on the Sepita. Like I said, he could always bring this horse to Florida. So I'm wondering if maybe this is a little bit more of a weather type of thing. I don't know either way. That's just kind of maybe the way I'm looking at it. And I mean, this horse is taking a big class drop in here.
The and I unfortunately can't find my sheet that has the hold on, bear with me 1 second, because I keep notes on these, and I'm a big fan of the Daily Racing Form's quick sheets, and I know I have it, and it is not. I've got the PPs for the fifth. That was the race, and you mentioned Peaceful Kingdom coming out. That was the set of PPs that I was intrigued by, but I want to. Want to write down? I guess I'll just have to write down your plays, so that I can, so that I can tweet them out at night when they come through. So third race, what number?
The two default for Vacaresa. That's the one that I'm definitely interested in after the scratch of the one I liked, because I feel like this race definitely you're kind of looking for a price in here with some suspect one and two choices.
All right, so that's the third. What else?
Race five. I'm going to look to the two, Thigh B for Sheree DeVoe, second time starter. Usually her horses fire pretty well. A second time starter's horse draws an inside gate versus, the wide gate that this horse last time out, kind of broke a little bit awkwardly. It still ran on, I thought, for a really nice third behind Fantastical Sanctify, who was second in the race, also back in here. But her horses really seem to get better after having a start under the belt, and the Axeman going to get aboard, so definitely going to give that one a shot in there.
4-1, Psy B. A quick note, a couple of notes about this field, because this is a group that that has made some starts, and there's only, I think, just the one firster, right? The Thomas,
yep.
The Jonathan Thomas, the Catholic boy that he sends out for Bob LaPenta, which is appropriate, out of a Munnings mare. Faith Understood. Darren Miller for the Hamiltons, Silverton Hill, second time starter, handed over 8-1, and I think well worth including in here.
For sure.
Right?
ran really, really well last time out and was kind of almost flying late while everybody was stopping. And I mean, I was at 46-1.
Yeah,
definitely was getting home.
Yeah, we're not going to get that here, but Temple City Philly out of Great Notion Mare, homebred of Silverton Hills. So that's my interest. But I agree with Cherie, too. That's a Blue Heaven homebred. 4-1, the English Channel Philly Cy B. What else you got?
Kind of looked at race number 8. A couple of scratches in there, the also eligible as well as the 3 and the 4, which I don't really think impact too much. I think there's a chance there's going to be a really hot pace in here. There's a lot of horses that are kind of need the lead types or that at least want to be close. So I think it's going to set up for a horse coming from off the pace. So I looked with the 6, Jova, for the Cipriana Contreras barn. Has had 2, I thought, pretty good races back in December and January where just kind of didn't have enough pace to run at, but was still cutting the gap late and really getting there when they got to the wire to only be beat by a couple of lengths. So if Tyler Connor can have this one a little bit closer, but still have that pace develop, I think this horse has a big chance.
Nice. Jova, the 6 in the 8th. There it is. The Wednesday action, as we do, Turfway. Let me look ahead with you as well to the Big Daddy that's the feature on Saturday night, and going to go as the 7th race, 8:55 post. Good to see the return, the seasonal debut for Whit Stinson. And Hear My Song comes back and was on hand when he won the Commonwealth at Keeneland last spring, which was just unbelievable. Then you know, then we're actually there was a little bit of a concern at Churchill when he ran in the grade one. He pulled up bad, but he ended up being fine and just needed a little quick kick out. And here he is starting his 6-year-old season with Alex Achard aboard. You got a few nice players in here. How about a debut at Turfway for Josie Carroll and Ellen J. Foxwoods with Striker as well. This one's been away since July of last year. Also a 6-year-old seasonal debut. This is a good group.
This is a really good group. I'm really excited for this race. Eyewitness, we haven't seen in a while, but is unbeaten here in 2 starts. Won the Animal Kingdom on Jeff Ruby Day, as well as Breaking the Maiden here in impressive fashion. Has been on the turf since then. Of course, we have Shefflin, morning line favorite in here. Our shot is coming in for the John Terranova barn, trying the surface. Antares, both of those, actually, Antares must have been a private purchase. He's with Mike Maker now. Actually, it says he was sold in a sale. So that's interesting. That's something new that I didn't see. But Shefflin, still with the Maury barn coming in. Both of those have been 2 really star horses that have been unbeaten so far this meet. So excited to see them making their stakes debut. But I Hear My Song, this is a war horse. He's kind of really done it all. He's ran 2nd and 6th in this race. He has the form here at Turfway. He likes the surface a lot, but he's a horse that can come from a little bit off the pace, but he kind of has that tactical speed if necessary. And there's going to be, I would say, a decent amount of speed in this race. Really no surprise with that based on the distance of the 6 furlongs, but there's some horses in here that really have, you know, some get up and go early. So I think it really sets up for a horse like him, potentially a horse like Striker that's going to be coming from off the pace. The word horse off of the freshening, Eyewitness, is going to be rolling. So this is going to be a really interesting type of a stakes race here, and the stakes races really haven't disappointed here yet this season. They've turned up really, really strong. So definitely excited to see some horses making their seasonal debut in this race.
Well, and Shefflin, we tweeted about after that allowance win, he has been, I mean, close to perfect. Only the near miss in that December 25th start, his first on synthetic, and he got beat a half length by Graphic Detail. But then subsequently, another pair of 90-plus buyers. He's a Cantheros. And could be really any kind. And also doesn't feel like a horse that, you know, will be confined to synthetic assignments either. From a breeding standpoint, he certainly bred the main track as well. Cantheros out of a quality road mare. So Shefflin, absolutely, you know, four-year-old to watch. Gelding's going to be around. It's the big daddy and the feature. These have been great. The stakes calendar, the stakes schedule has been really good. These cards, we say every week, well worth your time and attention. Caitlin, as always, I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it too, and thank you so much. Going to be on site at Turfway a lot in the next few weeks with some big races coming up, so I'll be there a lot of the week today and pretty much all week next week.
Excellent. Everybody can look for you. We will talk next Wednesday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
Caitlin Free, everybody, and has done really terrific work. I don't know what I did with my I have no idea what I did with my quick sheet. I've got, here's the Tampa, here's Gulfstream, here's Fairgrounds, and the one I do first every week is missing in action. Unbelievable. Oh, let me do this while I got you. And Seth is going to join us momentarily. I promised you the Parks results from yesterday, and they had the two stakes, the two mile 70s, and there was also a maiden, crazy maiden result. Eddie W. breaks the maiden for Steve Krebs. A Peace and Justice gelding making a fourth career start and came from out of it at 35-1. Longest shot on the board. There were two other firsters that were double digits, but they weren't 35-1. And the amusingly named Bada Boom Racing. Eddie W. got the late action going at Parks yesterday. $73.20. Then the two stakes. Jean Marie as the favorite. She was vying for favoritism with Chad Brown's Experimental and went slightly favored and then was able to wire the field under Michael Sanchez. Jean Marie, a spitester filly, a homebred, Cash's King and LC Racing, and Butchie Reed. Last seen last July. So this is a very good three-year-old debut and becomes a stake winner of the main line. And then in the City of Brotherly Love, you had a nice price here. Lonesome Boy and trainer Hugo Padilla, 10-1, almost 11-1, 23-40, beating Guanare, who was 4-5 and chased, but just wasn't getting to Lonesome Boy. Lonesome Boy basically gave Guanare the slip and built up a lead. It was too good. Adam Bowman aboard. And Lonesome Boy, you know, from a fig standpoint, Lonesome Boy was okay in here. You know, Guanare had that strong fig and, you know, with kind of a glaring, you know, that 88 buyer in the allowance win in November, then won the spectacular bid against just two others. So, you know, everybody gravitated there. But Lonesome Boy, not so bad from a fig standpoint and a winner. Yeah. I imagine that the pick four had to be big. So Seth,
I'm here.
Yeah, well, I couldn't tell. You're way down low and wasn't sure if I heard you in the background or not.
Breathing heavily.
No, Brian, he's I barely can hear him. So, better?
I will test.
Yeah, that's better. Not 100%, but it's better. Seth Merrow joining us, and I'm sure you'd love to be at Tampa, one of your favorite places.
Absolutely. I told you last week when you said you were going over, I said I'm envious because it's been a while since I've been over, but it is one of my favorite tracks, and the big day coming up. Dave Joseph. I was standing in the winner's circle. We were just kind of shooting the breeze, and I said it was some years back when I'm standing. Tampa Bay Derby Day. I'm down on the bottom floor. I'm just with the regular folks looking up at a monitor watching one of the races, and I realize standing in front of me, Davy Jones from the Monkees.
Oh. My friend Ray, who hangs out at Payson Park, Ray said he used to be at Payson Park all the time and was as – I mean, first of all, you know, people may not know that he was a jockey, but he absolutely loved the track. He loved being around the game, and Ray said he was as sweet a guy, as nice to everybody, and taken young.
Yeah, no question about it. Like I say, he was just standing at the track – standing with the regular folks, and I don't think a lot of people recognized him even, but he was just there.
That's funny.
The races. And I think he had a place up by Ocala, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I think, you know what? I think I have heard that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely miss Tampa. It was fun listening to Jason earlier. He's been doing a great job down there since he jumped in. I used to like to listen to Rich, though, because whenever I heard his voice, I would think T-shirt and shorts, because that's what I'm wearing when I'm at the track down there, and so it was fun to listen to him. But Jason's been doing a great job since he's jumped in down there, and yeah, I have to get over there at some point, because a lot of fun. But we had a lot of fun last weekend down at Gulfstream. Got really nice feedback from the live program, including handicapper support, Loose on the Lead edition on Saturday morning. That always fun to have you jump in. We've done it now two or three times, I think, on our visits down there, and I think gave out some good info. You like Pounce. Didn't like the post position necessarily, but Pounce gets it done at a little bit of a price. And then you definitely gave a big push on Bo Yates and said you have to watch everything he's sending out. And so Fiona's Magic at $20, upsetting the Devona Dale. So you made a couple of nice calls during the morning. Those and a couple others as well. So it was fun.
No, we had a good day. We had a little bit of bad luck in that. Got beaten the pick five, pick four, the early one. The other Pletcher, and really wasn't the other Pletcher, it was the shorter priced Pletcher, that Quality G beat us at the wire, which was really hurt. I mean, that was a $2,700 beat, which sucked. But like you said, the couple of individual winners that you could key off of, and I for some reason people just because things went south in the feature. With the pre-scratches and then, you know, what happened, obviously, right pre-race that, I mean, just nobody could even believe. The rest of the day was terrific, and there were plenty of, if it wasn't all big-priced winners, there were horses underneath that were, you could have included and made scores. The racing was exciting. You had a bunch of terrific finishes. You had that Gulfstream mile where Bobby DeBona and that performance to me and Steel Sunshine versus Thumbarumba, that was as good a race as you're going to see. You mentioned Pounce. I mean, she benefited from moving in three stalls. Her rally, we'll talk to Mark Cassie up at Ocala next week and find out what's next for her. She's a serious horse. I thought 14 races is a little much for me. I wish we would pare back on that front, Seth, but I thought it was a really fun day overall.
Yeah, that has become kind of a 21st century thing on big days at various tracks. The morning start, and then things wind up at 6:30 or 7 or so. You're right, that makes for an awfully long day. But I totally agree with what you said. Yes, the big race, the Fountain of Youth, kind of fell apart with the early scratch and then the late scratch. And, you know, Dornach held up his end, and so he still remains a little bit interesting. Hard to know what to make of the race after it kind of fell apart a little bit, though. But, yeah, the undercard was fabulous, and I was kind of running back and forth to the winner's circle throughout the afternoon, kind of taping things to drop in our Sunday show. And Fiona's Magic, as I say, you mentioned Bo Yates, and so I got a nice little couple of paragraphs from him on tape, and that was fun. He was obviously thrilled with the upset victory in the Devona Dale at, again, $20. Caught up with Rich Averill when R. Callie Kim won the very one. I didn't realize it. I did a little interview with him and asked about the name. It's Duke Matisse's wife, the horse is named after, which I didn't realize. So that was fun as well. And I would think, you know, a nice win for R. Callie Kim, who seems to be turning into a nice horse going a little bit of a marathon distance. And I would expect to see her up in New York. And as you say, Steel Sunshine, that's the kind of race. And talked to Bobby DeBone after the race, and he said, if you're a horse racing fan and you can't appreciate that, you're in the wrong sport. And it was an absolute ding-dong battle. Watching live, I thought Steel Sunshine had it. On the replay, I thought, I don't know, I think Cumber Rump might have it. And it was one of those where they played the replay two or three times, and every time the crowd would, oh, eventually it came out to be Steel Sunshine by just a nudge there. But that was a great battle, and what is that kind of a budding rivalry between those two, perhaps.
Yeah.
Manuel looked good for Todd Pletcher, and caught up with Michael Dove after the win by Chili Flag in the Honey Fox, and talked with him a little bit. And then at the end, I asked him what he thought of, you know, from an owner's perspective, Belmont Stakes at Saratoga, and he was clearly elated with that, as I think everybody seems to be. So that coming up sooner rather than later with the news in New York also this week. The artist rendering of Belmont Park, which
what do you think?
I think it's exciting. I think it's going to be makes the green space a lot more, and I think that's going to be nice. And I think they're moving into the 21st century with a facility that is a 21st century facility as far as size and the amenities and whatnot. I think it looked good to me.
Talked to Dave O'Rourke earlier this morning, and got some, you know, got a few more of the details of the timeline as well. I don't understand why anybody would take issue with you know, the design. We're in an era that sort of guarantees outrage about every single topic. It doesn't matter what is offered up. It's very strange. It's disheartening.
But yeah, so it was a fun weekend. And again, I'm envious of you. Looking forward to Tampa Bay Derby this weekend, as the three-year-old scene. Just it's similar to last year. Nobody's really kind of stepping up and really going to the head of the class. So it's going to be interesting over the next few weeks to see if somebody can kind of step out of the shadows a little bit. As I say, I'm interested to see if Mystic Dan can kind of validate what he did in his last race where he put in a big number. You know, the rest of his resume doesn't really point to that. So if he can put a couple together, he may be getting good at the right time. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. But otherwise, deterministic certainly is interesting. Threw his hat in the ring, and it becomes interesting. But man, he has lately raced. So it's fun. It's a fun Derby trail, and as I say, over the next few weeks, as we get to those last series of preps, it's going to be even more interesting.
Before we talk some handicapping, I've got to pass this along, and I'm sure tomorrow we'll get a friend or seven. Larry Letterman has passed after a long and challenging, obviously, battle with cancer that he held at bay for an extended period, and I'm not sure where I was a few weeks ago, and somebody passed along. He said, Larry Letterman is, you know, is in hospice care, and a guy that just they're just beloved. It's funny because Jason and I were just. You were listening. We were just talking about race calling, and Letterman was so much fun and could step in anywhere, flat racing, standard bred. He could do anything, and brought mirth and, you know, just so easy to listen to, and a guy that is going to be so missed. Really sad to hear this news. Larry Letterman.
Yeah, too bad. But as you kind of alluded to, I'm sure he'll get plenty of people who'll be able to memorialize him in a proper way.
Yeah. Well, Frank Miramati comes to mind immediately. I'm seeing this news from Gabe Pruitt. Certainly better known, obviously, for standard bred, but, you know, called plenty of flat races and is just as, you know, is just as well known. Maybe not to younger audiences, to younger thoroughbred players and fans, but wow. It's sad way to end the day. All right, Seth, let's pick up spirits, and Caitlin gave everybody some winners tonight. Hopefully, Dick Powell got us rolling today with a very nice pick three at Happy Valley. So what are we looking at with you?
I'll do the pick four at Tampa, see if I can put two in a row and see if I can get a little more value in. I mean, it was nice last week. We ran second in a couple of those races where it would have juiced things up, but the beginning leg and the last leg. Took some of the value out. So we'll try again. We'll go 3x4 by 2x4 in here. And, there's no turf racing in this sequence, so that didn't affect things. But I did have some scratches, so that changed up my ticket a little bit. But I have, a decent little sequence, I think. Opening leg, the 6, Claimers going 7. I have it 6, 8, and 2. I'll put La Mistral on top by Kozan. I love Kozan as a win early sire. This one lived up to it. At 14-1 back in December. I think I had the horse that day because I do love the Kozans early in the career. Subsequently, a 3rd and a 7th. The 7th last time was in an off-the-turf at a mile and 40. 2 back was a claim for Gerald Bennett. You talked about the trainer standings a little bit earlier with Jason. Bennett, perennially one of the leading trainers, currently sitting 3rd. You mentioned Kathleen O'Connell. She's been insane at the meet. She's got 33 wins, D'Angelo 26, and Bennett with 20 sitting 3rd. But again, he's annually one of the leaders. And so 2nd off the claim, and the cutback to the 7, I think, will be beneficial. So we'll put La Mistral on top. 2nd slot, we'll go with Bahamian Native. Comes in off a 4th place finish last time, but with a number that I think is going to be good enough to play in with this bunch, particularly on a little class drop. 2nd off the maiden breaker. So got a little experience against better last time. I think a good fit with this bunch. And then Dr. Bader in the 3rd spot for the aforementioned D'Angelo, 2nd in the trainer standings. I'm kind of going to draw a line through the last race. It was against better. It was over at Gulfstream. So gets the venue relief and the price relief as well. So I'll use all 3 of mine in here, 6, 8, and 2. Next leg, race number 7. We're looking at calendar condition claimers on the bottom level going 3/4 of a mile. I have it 1, 4, and 8, and I'm going to pull – I lost my top pick, but I'm going to pull the 6 in, the Mac Robertson horse, which scared me to begin with. So with the scratch, I'll pull that one in. So on top for me is not a cat but a card. This is a tough race. I mean, we're bottom-level conditional claimers, so they're a little bit inconsistent. This one tried this kind of company last time and didn't do a whole lot. But I thought number-wise probably matches okay with this bunch. Similar scenario with preferred outcome. This one, though, ran okay last time with the number, and the finishing position was an okay 3rd. And that was a first start off a layoff since coming down from the Finger Lakes when last seen in August. So now with a little recency and maybe a little more fitness, preferred outcome certainly intriguing. Zamfir, 15-1 on the morning line, but I thought on the class drop, this one could play with this group. Comes in with a little bit of a bullet workout. And again, at this level, they're inconsistent. But on the best effort, this horse, I think, is squarely in the mix. And then, as I said, Sam Tequila for Mac Robertson comes in off a series of improving numbers. In similar company, maybe a little bit better on the conditions and whatnot, but I think is going to fit with this particular group on those numbers. So for me, in the seventh, I will use 1, 4, 8, and 6. And in the upcoming eighth race, I'm only going to go a couple deep in here. I have it 1, 4, 7, and 3, but I'll use the 1 and the 4. Hope we get through here with Spike Zone on top, the morning line favorite. Comes in with a two-race win streak and a just miss just before that. So just in very good form, firing good numbers, Jamie Ness having a good meet. Seems logical as the favorite and stands a very good chance to live up to that. Greg Sacco having a pretty good meet. He has just beat the odds with Sammy Camacho, who again talked about, you and Jason talked about Sammy is you know, up there towards the top of the jocks list. And this one has been ridden by Sammy in the last two, which includes a win and a near miss last time, both as the favorite. I didn't want to leave that one out of the mix. Captured the Lion and St. Tappet from Pletcher certainly have the potential to get in. But as they say, you know, keep the ticket okay. They both have question marks, but they do scare me. But I'm only going to use the 1 and the 4 in the eighth race, the 1 and the 4. And then in the finale, I will go. I said 4 deep, but one of mine scratched. So I'm actually 3 deep in this last leg. I have it 7, 8, and 9. I'm going to put Frizzanti on top. Last couple of starts were pretty good, a second and a third. Last time, they claimed the horse 2 back for 32 and then got ambitious and went up to maiden special company. I thought still ran okay, relatively speaking, to this bunch. But now they drop back in for the tag, and again, it's Greg Sacco. Idle Union goes maiden special weight to maiden claiming for a trainer who's having a pretty good meet. The last race wasn't a whole lot. 2 races back. We can get back to that, maybe with the class drop we do. I think Idle Union is playable, and Dunedin Causeway in the third spot. Again, another one, 2 back. We had a pretty good race for a tag. Tried maiden specials last time. And getting back in for the tag, that one is playable as well. So for me, in the finale, the 9, 7, 8, and 9.
So we've got 3 by 4 by 2 by 3, 2, 6, 8. With 1, 4, 6, 8, with 1, 4, with 7, 8, 9. One more time, 2, 6, 8, with 1, 4, 6, 8, with 1, 4, with 7, 8, 9. $36 ticket, 3 by 4 by 2 by 3. Seth Merrill coming off of last week's nice pit that could have been. Exponential with a couple of wouldn't have taken much to turn that from, you know, into several hundred, actually, Seth.
Yeah, a couple of the clever ideas ran second behind the shorter priced winners.
Yep.
So we scored, but yeah, could have been a little better. We'll see if we can get one of the clever ideas to make a little noise this afternoon.
Well, and I actually, by going through the Tampa PPs, I found my Turfway sheet that I was looking for the entire time that Caitlin was on with us. Like,
sounds familiar. I have done that a number of times.
Right?
You're like, I know I brought that this morning, and then 3 hours later, you're going through, yeah, your handicap. Oh, there it is. It's in the middle of the background.
It's stuck. Yeah, it's stuck on the back of a page. You know, there's one horse in this sequence that makes me smile. Liam Benson. Who everybody probably remembers, and especially for those around racing in Kentucky, that he bred that Not a Cat But a Card, and that came on the heels of Not a Cat But a Llama, and you know, that whole era. But this was a horse that he bred and he trained early on, and is now a 9-year-old. It's unbelievable. This would be his 72nd start. And Liam, I forget who he's working for right now, but he's working for. I see him at in Kentucky, and I forget where I just most recently saw him. But anyway, Liam Benson, the breeder of Not a Cat But a Card. What a long Nice career. 71 starts, 9-time winner.
7 seconds, 14 thirds. So, yeah, it's been a productive career.
Yeah, no, he's...
We'll look for him to put another W on today.
Yeah, it's a nice sequence here. It's too bad about the turf, and I don't know.
I'm from the way you and Jason talked, and I had looked up the weather this morning, so I was kind of sticking with the turf before the scratches came out. And then the scratches came out,
yeah.
I was kind of surprised because the weather was saying really no precipitation today. So I'm assuming it.
It teemed.
Nice it just had.
It teamed down rain last night. And I mean, the race that it's not in this sequence, but it does start the pick five. That fifth race, too, Seth, would have been
the joke course I was looking forward to.
Yeah, exactly. There is an MTO for Barbara Minchel, Money Beats, that obviously comes in. And actually, it would be interesting to see if Shug shipped over or not, because. That horse has been running on the dirt.
It's scratched.
Scratched. Okay. Okay. All right.
But I thought he was going to be interesting. She was going to be interesting trying the turf. So folks, you look for African Waters going forward. The dam herself was 3-for-3. Won the Suncoast at Tampa many years ago. There was a sibling called Luke's Alley that won the Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap. Another sibling was 5-for-6 in the career. So keep your eyes open for African Waters.
Yeah, well, he was Shug. I said earlier he's been killing it here, the ones he's been shipping over. Seth Marrow, everybody, and a busy Wednesday. Caitlin Free earlier. Jason Beam, the voice of Tampa and the voice of Colonial. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale with Sid Hong Kong and a nice $168 pick three. And Dave O'Rourke from the New York Racing Association with details on the new incredible, beautiful Belmont Park. Back with you here tomorrow. We'll have the card to start wading into at Tampa. Thanks, everybody. Good luck if you're playing today. All those options. Plus, Fairgrounds has got a nice Wednesday card, too, and Gulfstream. Talk to you tomorrow.
Lord, there goes Johnny Appleseed. He might pass by.